the Red River Farm Network Crop Tour presented by Pioneer. We're talking with agronomist Zach Forey. And Zach, first of all, thanks for hosting us as we've been making our way across Minnesota.
We've had a fun day today, Don. We've covered from Georgetown to Roseau, so we got to see quite a bit of northwestern Minnesota. It's been a great day.
So as you take a look at that area, some of that ground has been very, very dry, and we know how hot it was this summer.
Yeah, we're ahead in terms of heat. It's been a warm summer, and it's also been a dry summer. And it's really surprising going across that area how good the crop looks generally. You know, we've got some areas that are that really got fried and, you know, got dried out. But for the most part, there's a lot of really good-looking crop. And a year like this really reveals soil conditions and spotty rainfall. We've seen some of that, too, where just some pockets just didn't get any rainfall at all. And also things like crop rotation really show up, you know. If a crop followed sugar beets, for example, or followed corn, a year when it's dry, that really shows up too.
It's a year where we found some pest issues that I don't think I've seen too much in this neck of the woods.
You know, when it's dry, you get a whole different host of pests. So one of the ones that we saw a little bit here in Roseau was spider mites in soybeans. So we've had spider mites before, but it's rare. And you only get spider mites when it's really dry. And we had that certainly of the area we covered today, Don. This is probably the driest area that we've been, is up here by Roseau.
So that corn earworm is also something that I guess I haven't seen a lot in this territory.
Right, and I haven't either. So in the 14 years I've been doing this, I haven't ever seen corn earworm like that. We're seeing fields where we might have as much as 10% of the years have some corn earworm feeding in them. That's an insect that doesn't overwinter up here. The moths blew in, and evidently at just the right time to lay their eggs and get some earworm here. But it's not something that we see very often, and it's not really something we can do a whole lot about.
We've got a newer seed treatment from Pioneer, Lumicina. Tell me about this and what benefit this has for the crop.
Okay, so Lumicina is a fungicide seed treatment for soybeans, and it's particularly good on Phytophthora. So Phytophthora is the single biggest disease pest of soybeans outside of soybean cyst nematode. So cyst nematode is considered a disease that's more damaging, but second to that would be Phytophthora. It's everywhere we go. It's in every field, and we've always used the fungicide seed treatment for Phytophthora. It's in the past has been metalaxyl. Metalaxyl is an old chemistry that was helpful, but Lumicina is significantly better in controlling Phytophthora than our previous products were.
So one other thing we've seen a lot this year is some weed escapes. We've talked about some resistance issues over the past number of years, but a lot of that seems like it's taken hold.
Yeah, when you drive around this region, you'll see some really clean soybean fields, absolutely perfectly clean from end to end, but you'll see a lot more fields even this year than you saw a year ago that are not completely clean. There's a lot of weeds in there, and when you stop and take a look at what those weeds are, it's usually... on the Minnesota side, it's common ragweed. On the North Dakota side, it's more likely to be kochia. And then you've got a smattering of water hemp scattered throughout there. And then the other one that we will occasionally see will be volunteer canola. Those will be, most of the time, if you're seeing weed escapes, that's what they are. So it definitely is something that's changing really rapidly. And the ragweed, water hemp, and kochia almost certainly are Roundup resistant. And so I think everybody is realizing that these resistant weeds, you don't think you have them, and then you think maybe you got a little bit of them, but it becomes a big problem really fast. And, you know, we're just trying to make everybody aware of it, pay attention to it, and get out in front of it as much as possible.
Zach, you talked a bit about some of the weather conditions we've had this year, some dryness and those kind of things. How's that feed into the whole issue of harvest management this year?
So we've had significant stress on our crop this year. And so as we look at harvest management, think first of all on soybeans. We've got some soybeans getting ready pretty quickly. One of the things that Amy commented on tonight at our plot tour was that soybeans can get mature really fast, and we're harvesting soybeans that are 7, 8, 9% moisture. We get some cracking when that happens. We get some harvest damage, but the biggest thing is we're just leaving yield on the table when we're harvesting them too dry because we're not getting paid for the moisture that's in them. And so we need to start harvesting our soybeans a little bit earlier so they don't get too dry on us. A little more concern to me is corn. So when we get stress conditions like this, what the corn plant does is it really cannibalizes the stalk tissue. And a year ago we had a lot of stress on stalks, more than I've seen in many, many years. This year is setting up to potentially be like that also, where we could have a lot of cannibalization of stalk tissue where we had some drought stress. And that's one of the reasons in corn. We need to get out and monitor stalks for corn so that we can catch anything that might have some weak stalks before it goes down. The other thing about corn that's really important is that when we let corn harvest dry, we just lose yield when we do that. When we do the studies of harvesting corn at 25% versus harvesting corn at 15%, we end up losing about 1% of yield, 4% of moisture. So from 25 to 15, we lose about 10% of yield. That's probably mostly harvest losses, but in any case, we want growers to start harvesting in the low 20s. Even if you got to pay for some propane, the yield that you save will more than offset that cost of propane. And maybe even more worrisome are some of the severe weather events that we can get late. When we can get really hot conditions in late September and early October, we've seen that, and we can get some really, really windy conditions, and those can be things that cause ear drop and can also cause stalk lodging, particularly when we've had stressed plants.
We certainly appreciate the good agronomic information we're getting on our crop tour. Again, the Red River Farm Network Crop Tour, visiting with Zach Forey, agronomist with Pioneer. The Crop Tour, presented by Pioneer.